You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Can we put our hands together for Jesus this morning? Really, he's the only one who's worthy of receiving our praise. If it wasn't for Jesus, guess what? None of us would be here this morning. Isn't that right? Can we hear an amen? Amen. Like Simon said, it's a privilege to be able to bring the word to you this morning. It's something I don't take very lightly. It's a great responsibility and also a privilege to preach the word of God. My name is Mark, and we've called Sun Life our church home for about 9-10 months now. So we've been so blessed. We have seen God move in our household, in our lives, in our hearts. And over the months that we've been here. So I want you to know how good you have it in this house. You have an amazing pastor, an amazing leadership team, and we have an amazing church together. I'd like to thank Pastor Bin and the elders for the opportunity to speak this morning. Like he said, I'm married to this beautiful girl here, Tina, who is an amazing woman of God. You know, I feel her hand on me in the morning, and I know she's praying for me. And that's worth more than all the money in the world, all the gold in the world, isn't it? A wife or a partner that prays for you, who holds you up, that you know that when you start the day, you've got God's covering and God's blessing on you. And together we've got 4 beautiful children. So I am blessed and I am rich in children. Why don't we turn to our Bibles this morning? I want you to do 2 things for me this morning. Take the church app. There are some notes on there. And also turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 this morning. I'm Pentecostal in background, right? So in the old days in Pentecostalism, we used to hear an amen now and then. So if you hear a point that resounds with you or a point that where God speaks to you through the word, just give a shout for Jesus, hey? Not for me, but for Jesus, yeah? Because he's done everything that we need. We're looking at a controversial passage this morning. I've called this the controversy of the fourth commandment. And we're going to look through Mark, and we're journeying through the Gospel of Mark this morning, or this year really, but we're looking at Mark 2 and 3. But before we get into the verses for today, I thought it'd be good to read the law. So we're looking at the fourth commandment, which we can find in Exodus 20, verse 8. So I'll just read that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. And remember, the Sabbath was a Saturday. We as Christians, we worship on a Sunday, but the Sabbath for Hebrews was a Saturday. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your sons, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For it is the sixth, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. So the Lord rested himself on the Saturday. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Isn't that amazing? You know, we often forget we are New Testament believers, we're Christian, we focus on the New Testament, but God there spelled out the fourth commandment when Moses went up the mountain to receive the law from God himself, yeah? So I thought this morning we would start with a little bit of a survey. Is that okay? A bit of a check on how we're travelling in accordance with the law. So by a show of hands this morning, who's ever been to the hairdresser on a Saturday? Who's ever had their hair cut? I had my hair cut yesterday. Who's ever been to a hairdresser on a Saturday? Who's ever applied makeup on a Saturday? So if you go out for dinner or you go out with friends, put some makeup on. Who's ever had a bath or a shower where they used a block of soap to form a lather? Most people use liquid soap these days, so a little bit more kosher. But what about who's ever cooked a meal on a Saturday? So put the gas on, got a pan out, and cooked a steak. And lastly, who's ever gone shopping or purchased or entered into a transaction on a Saturday? Bought a car on a Saturday? Bought a house on a Saturday? Wow. Did you realize that you're breaking the fourth commandment? As we just read, by doing these activities on a Saturday. And according to the law, you should have been stoned for breaking the law, the fourth commandment. That was the punishment. And God said, as we just read, God said to keep the Sabbath day holy. And the Jewish leaders came up with a list of 39 rules to help the children of Israel keep that day holy. These are rules like shearing and removing outer coverings of humans and animals. Get going for a haircut. No dyeing, so no applying makeup. No rubbing, scraping or grinding of any kind. No rubbing soap on your skin. No kindling of a fire, so no cooking. And no making agreements or any kind of agreement or transaction was forbidden on a Saturday. It's crazy, hey, imagine living back in those times. You know, the Pharisees and the religious leaders were outraged at Jesus' apparent disregard for the law. But Jesus wanted to show them what the true meaning of the Sabbath day was. And I think the true meaning of the Sabbath can be summed up in these three points. You know, for us, the Sabbath is our freedom. For us, the Sabbath is our rest. And for us, the Sabbath should be a celebration. You know, we are free. We are free in Him. It's a day when we know that we have been set free from ritualistic rules of the law. Who knows that? You know, it's a day where we have complete rest in our salvation in Jesus Christ. That we know we don't have to earn our salvation by anything that we do. And because of those two points, because we're free and we can rest in our salvation, it's a day for celebration. Who can say that? We can celebrate because Jesus has done everything on the cross for us. His whole plan was to bring us back into a right relationship with the Father. And we're going to see that this morning through the text that we read this morning. Why don't we pray? Father, we commit this time into your hands. We pray that you teach us from your word this morning. Lord, that it not be me up here, but it be that I speak as an oracle of God to your people. That, Lord, we just don't hear a good message this morning, but we see life transformation in those that are hearing the word of God this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And as Daryl said, we welcome the online viewers. Sorry for not welcoming you before, but I do hope one day we'll be all together in a room and be able to celebrate God together. So the first point, the Sabbath is our freedom. So why don't we read in Mark chapter 3. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So I wanted to start these two passages in reverse this morning. So when Jesus was in Capernaum, you see him often teaching in the local synagogue. Who's ever seen that in the Gospels? He went to the synagogue to teach. And the next slide will show you what that might have looked like. You know, the synagogues were developed when the Jews were in exile, when they were in Babylon, and they didn't have access to the temple. They formed synagogues, which were places to gather and teach the law. So I think it was very fitting that Jesus chose the synagogue as an opportunity to debunk what the true meaning of the Sabbath was about. If you look in this photo, you see the black stone on the foundation. That was the original synagogue that we read in this scripture. That was the Jesus synagogue of 2,000 years ago. And then the white limestone that's above it was a 4th century synagogue that was built on the remains of the original Jesus synagogue. And that's a photo we took in Israel a couple of years back. But it's an incredible place if you get to go to Capernaum. And on to the next slide. So Mark chapter 3 continues. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to them, stretch out your hand. and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Most commentators agree that this man that was brought to Jesus was a setup. He was planted there by the Pharisees to catch Jesus out. The irony here is that by the Pharisees trying to trap Jesus, they themselves were breaking the Sabbath, which I think is kind of humorous, really. They were conspiring and scheming together. Their intention was to trap Jesus and have him killed. Who remembers the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave? You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made the law a matter of the heart, didn't he? You know, he said it's not about rituals and outward observances, but it's about our hearts, the position and the posture of our hearts. For example, Jesus said adultery is just not, you know, having physical relations with another woman. It's about just lusting after another woman. That's how you commit adultery. And murder. Murder's not just about killing somebody else, but it's just having hate for somebody else. So Jesus takes it away from our physical actions and brings it to a matter of our hearts. Yeah, who can see that? And here the Pharisees had one clear agenda. They had murder in their hearts. And we see in the next verse, the Pharisees get even into more trouble. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. The Pharisees had to resort to working with the Herodians, a sect of the Jews that they didn't even like. The Herodians were actually a sect of the Jews that had an allegiance to King Herod, the King Herod at the time. And the Pharisees and the Herodians were at loggerheads always, except in the case of getting rid of Jesus. They decided to work together. They had completely different agendas. One was political and one was religious. But they had a common objective here, and that was to kill Jesus. You know, it's like that old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Who's heard of that? So here we see the Pharisees and the Herodians getting on. But Jesus, and here Jesus seemingly breaks the law in order to set this man free. He was breaking traditions and breaking the man-made laws, not the original law that God had ordained in Exodus 20. But he was just merely breaking the laws that these Pharisees had put in place. Jesus wanted to do more than heal this man. He wanted to teach the Pharisees that God wants his people to enjoy freedom and not suffer in religious bondage. Religion binds people. Who knows that Jesus came to set people free? Amen. You know, I grew up Catholic, and nobody teaches religion like the Catholics. I'm not picking on Catholicism. I'm very grateful for the discipline I received in the Catholic Church. But growing up, and we were faithful Catholics, when I was 10, I remember our teacher in Catholic school would say, if you come to church late, you're going to hell. If you leave church early, you're going to hell. If you didn't look at the host at the right time when the priest broke the host, you're going to hell. This is how we were taught. This was only 1985. And I was gripped with fear. That's the fear of the Lord preaching. Religion binds us. I kept that with me until I was saved, until I found my salvation in Jesus Christ. Because religion will bind people. But a true salvation, a true knowledge of Jesus Christ sets us free. Paul clearly writes in the epistles that our freedoms are in Christ. The works of the law are done away with. Who remembers in Galatians when Paul writes, by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified? That we are not sons of Hagar. Paul makes this distinction between Hagar and Sarah. We are not sons of Hagar, the bondwoman, but we are sons of Sarah, the free woman. The old is gone and the new has come through Jesus Christ. Let's read some of Paul's other verses in Romans chapter 14. One person esteems a day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Nobody can guilt us. Nobody can put a guilt trip on us when we choose to worship our Lord and Saviour. If you want to worship on a Saturday, fantastic. If you want to worship on a Sunday, that's fantastic as well. We have complete freedom to worship God any day of the week. In fact, we are encouraged to worship God every day of the week. Who knows that? We are free. We are not bound by any law or any man-made tradition. In this matter, in worshiping God, you decide what is right for you. It's between you and God. You have that freedom through Jesus Christ. Or in Colossians 2, it says, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or the new moon or a Sabbath, as we're talking about here. You know, if you're at a meal, a fellowship meal, and there are foods there that you think are unclean or not good to eat, and, you know, we know the Jews don't eat pork and they don't eat shellfish because they consider those animals to be unclean. But if those foods are good for you to eat and you deem them good for you to eat, then you're absolutely free to eat those foods. You're not bound by the law. If someone determines that they don't want to eat, then that's fine as well. We're not to judge them because they have that freedom to choose. You know, a friend of mine who is he's a preacher, when he came to faith in the Lord, he had the strong conviction in his heart that he wasn't to drink any alcohol. So for 10 or so years, he didn't have a drop of alcohol. And then he moved to London. The Lord called him to London to plant a church. And when he went to London, the Lord said to him, now start to drink a glass of wine with your meal, because the people that you are trying to reach, it is their culture to drink meal at dinner time. Isn't that amazing? If he was so caught up by the law, he wouldn't have heard the voice of God give him that license to enjoy a glass of meal. So he was more culturally sensitive and culturally aware, and to reach those people, he had that freedom to do that. Who sees that? Yeah? Was it right for him to not drink? Was it right for him to drink in London? It's not up for us to judge. It's between him and God. And we are free to choose what's right and good in our own hearts. You know, we are free ultimately for the furtherance of the gospel. That's why Jesus sets us free, so that we can reach others for Christ. Amen. Amen. So the Sabbath is also our rest. So once we have been set free, we can rest in that freedom. Why don't we read in Mark chapter 2, verse 28, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Here Jesus is proclaiming to the Lord, especially the legalistic Pharisees, that he was greater than the law. And he was actually above the Mosaic covenant because he was God in the flesh. As God in the flesh, he was in fact the author of those laws. And I think about it this way. It was the very finger of Jesus that wrote on that tablet. They're trying to tell Jesus the law, but he's saying, hey guys, I wrote the law. I think I know it a little bit better than you. It was my finger that penned them on those two tablets 1,500 years ago or whatever it was. By instituting their own complex and confusing Sabbath laws, the Pharisees were oppressing the people. It was all about control with the Pharisees. By oppressing the people, the Pharisees made themselves lords over the people. And who remember, Jesus addresses that a lot in the Gospels. They made themselves lords over the people. So Jesus came to take the day back and set the people free and to give them complete rest in him. He had the authority to overrule the traditions and the burdens of the Pharisees. And we see that in Matthew chapter 11 on the next slide. Matthew chapter, everyone should know this verse. This is a famous verse. Whenever we're feeling down or tired, we quote this verse, come to me all who labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This verse is actually immediately before Matthew's retelling of the Sabbath verses that we're studying today. And it's specifically in line with the rest that we find in Jesus Christ, not the hardness of the law. As the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus had the right to dispense of the day in any way he wished. The Lord of the Sabbath had come, and he has become the fulfillment of our Sabbath day rest. It's no longer by works of the flesh that we are saved. It's by faith in the Lordship of Jesus. Who can say here that Jesus is truly our Lord? We are set free. We can rest in the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, he was attesting to the fact that just as the Sabbath day was originally instituted to give man rest from his labours, as we saw in Exodus 20, in a physical sense, he has come to give us rest in a spiritual sense. Isn't that comforting to know that we can rest spiritually? that we don't have to work or labour anymore to know that we're saved, that when we leave our body, we'll be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Because of the cross, we can forever cease from our labours. We can completely take rest in his mercy and grace, knowing that our salvation is secure. There's no need to think anymore that the more we serve God, the more favour we get with God, or the more he's going to love us, the more he's going to bless us. I need to serve in, 64 ministries at church just so God deems me worthy. We're set free from that. We can rest knowing that the blood of Jesus is sufficient. The blood of Jesus still speaks for us. We don't need to go, I need to give thousands of dollars to the church so that God will bless me. We can rest in just knowing that our Saviour is at the right hand of the Father. We simply know and rest in that fact. 9 months ago when we left our previous church and we came here, and I was involved in just about every ministry in the church. I was on the preaching team, I was service leading, I was on the prayer team, the eldership, finance committee, the outreach team, and in the spare time I even helped Tina in kids' church a little bit. But I came here and I sat over there and over there and over there and over there, and for 9 months I just rested. I didn't do anything. I didn't serve. I just rested and sat and listened to the Word of God and let the Word of God restore me and let the Word of God heal me and let the Word of God renew me. And guess what? God loves me just the same. He doesn't look down and say, Mark, you're a disappointment. He doesn't say, Mark, you're letting the team down. He loves me exactly the same as when I was in every other department in my previous church. That should be comforting. We should just breathe a sigh of relief and say, we are loved, we are blessed in the Beloved. We can rest in him. And I remember in the closing few verses of John, when John's leaning against Jesus' breast, we should go to that place in our prayer time and just lean on him and just feel his love. Imagine his breath breathing on us and just truly rest in his arms, yeah? He stretched out his arms and died and bled and rose again so that we can rest in his salvation. Once we realise that we are free and that we can rest, we can celebrate. Who would agree? We've got cause to celebrate because of everything that Jesus has done. Let's read in Mark chapter 2. Now it happened that when he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain, and the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? These are controversial verses because the implication here by the Pharisees is that Jesus and his disciples were lawbreakers. Jesus and his disciples were doing what they were doing by plucking heads of grain was actually considered to be work by the Pharisees. But in Deuteronomy 23, it says that it's okay to glean by using your hand. As long as they weren't using a sickle, they weren't breaking the law. Who also remembers in Ruth chapter 2, when Naomi says to Ruth, go to the field of the kinsman redeemer and glean from what was left over. She was entitled to do that according to the law. So Ruth wasn't breaking the law. So what Jesus and his disciples were doing was actually in accordance with the law, but it annoyed the Pharisees because they couldn't control Jesus. That's what annoyed the Pharisees, because they were used to controlling people by these laws and these strict rules. But he was freedom and rest in the flesh. And it's really nuts. Like, if you go to Israel now, they're so bound by these laws. Like, on Saturday, you've got to be really careful which lift you go into, because they've got what they call the Shabbat lifts. So these are pre-programmed lifts that will stop at every level of the building, because pressing the buttons on the lift is considered work. So you've got to be careful that you don't get into a Shabbat lift, otherwise it's going to take you like 20 minutes to get to your bedroom. Or if you're in a hotel and you want a hot meal, you can't get it because they can't cook. So it's usually cold cuts or cheeses or things that they can just take out of the fridge. Even you cross a road and you think that's pretty simple, but not on the Saturday. because you can't press the buttons because that's considered work to make the man go green. So they're all pre-programmed so that the Jews can keep the Sabbath. I find that amazing, you know. So Jesus, in the next verse, Jesus responds to the Pharisees, and he says in 25 to 27, but he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which was not lawful to eat, except for the priests, and also gave some of those some to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.'" By using this example, Jesus was technically saying that what David and his men did, was wrong, but they needed it to survive. Who remembers that story? That David and his men were in flight. Now, they were in a battle. They were running for their lives. But Jesus is trying to say that human beings, his creation, are more important than the laws and the regulations. Man is more important because man is God's highest creation. We are made in his very image. And really, the Sabbath is a celebration of that creation and giving praise to the Creator. In actuality, the Sabbath goes right back to the Garden of Eden. Who knows that a lot of the principles of the Sabbath were present in the Garden of Eden? How did Noah know which animals were clean and unclean? In Genesis chapter 6, the law wasn't given until Exodus 20. So these principles went back right to the Garden of Eden. The idea of man being free and resting was God's plan from the beginning. When Adam was banished, he had to work for his survival. Who remembers that? When he was banished from the garden, he had to toil by the sweat of his brow. His rest, his freedom, his intimacy with the Father was broken. And he was banished from the garden and he had to work. It was a works-based salvation or works-based intimacy that Adam and his family had to endure. The opposite of that is true for us. We have rest and freedom in Jesus Christ, and that's why we can celebrate. We don't need to work for that relationship any longer. In a spiritual sense, Jesus has brought us right back into the garden. Amen. Amen. Jesus came to restore that relationship with the Father, to bring us back into intimacy. You know, the Father wants intimacy with us more than we want intimacy with him. Who believes that? He desires it. He longs it. He has made a way from the foundation of the earth so that we can come back into the garden. For me, that blows me away. You might be thinking, though, that this gives us a license to sin. But remember, I said that the true law is a matter of the heart. That if we were truly in love with our Father, if we're truly in love with Jesus Christ, we won't want to sin. Doesn't matter what rules. How many times do I tell my kids, don't do this, don't do that, and yet they do it? So laws don't matter because it's about our heart. And if we really love the Father, if we really value that intimacy, that relationship we have with the Father, we won't want to sin. We will want so far from sin because we're so conscious about our intimacy and our relationship with our Father. That's where Jesus was trying to bring these people. It's not about the laws, but it's about our heart position, yeah? And in fact, if we're out of relationship with the Father, we should be terrified because we should just desire that intimacy with him as much as he desires that with us. The Sabbath is a reflection of God's desire to have intimacy with his highest creation. And if that's not a reason to celebrate, I don't know what is. The Jews sing different psalms on different days of the week, and here was two that I found on the Sabbath that they sing. Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, and the world and those who dwell therein." And in Psalm 92, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." These are psalms that the Jews sing on the Sabbath day. They're beautiful songs and praise and celebrating our Creator. You know, why don't we stand this morning? We have a reason to celebrate. Why don't we stand together? Let's celebrate what Jesus has done, that He truly is our freedom, that He truly is our rest. And we should celebrate that He has restored us into right relationship with Him. As the musicians are getting their instruments, why don't we just lift our hands and praise Him and start to shout and thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made a way. Lord, that you have brought us into right relationship with the Father, that you have given us intimacy with our Father. That in you, Lord, we can find our freedom. In you, Lord, we can find our rest. And because of that, because we are free, because we can rest in your work, we can celebrate. With that thought of celebrating and worshiping God, why don't we just sing a worship song together, Jordan, and we'll come back and pray and close in a few minutes.